So what's on our agenda there, Tony?
Well, I have, let me just say everything I have and
sure.
Just a minute, to welcome Anna. And then we sent out the flyer, so I don't know if we want to say any more about that.
Okay.
And then we sent out the donations document just a few minutes ago.
Right, great.
And the web text and the contact information has just gone to Bob and Marie.
Yeah, so we'll have a conversation about that whole thing. We're making our move.
All right. And then I think we were saying we might talk that the orientation letter, I don't know, may not be quite ready.
Right.
And then any issues from the blog. And then got three emails just recently. One about, Ann wrote in about some concerns about the blog. And I got one from David about a participant that doesn't have email. And then one from Tracy just asking about all the approved documents we should have, which it sounds like we're working on.
Yeah, so I think that Tracy's issue will come up as a part of our whole agenda. I think I saw those things from David and Ann. I think we can handle those off the call probably.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have.
All right, good. Well, let's start in then. So the first one was welcoming Anna.
Hi, thank
yes.
you for having me. I'm very
welcome, Anna.
Thank you.
Anna just joining us in. We actually have a couple of folks who are just starting in the program, which is very fun and exciting. And so we'll look forward to you guys participating. Anna, have you started getting all the documents and stuff to listen to and everything?
Yeah, I have the started listening to some of the old conference calls, and there's a lot of other documents that were sent over, so I'm going through those right now.
Okay, yeah, a lifetime worth of listening probably at this point.
Right. Yeah.
I think probably the most important one is the recordings from the facilitator retreats.
Oh, okay.
We got some recordings recently from Green Cove, which are excellent. And then we have I think the ones from the facilitator retreat previous to that are quite good too, if I remember right. They're good listening. And then there's some really old ones from a facilitator retreat that are kind of hard to listen to. So, anyway,
okay.
You might start with those if you want to.
Yeah, that's really helpful because I was starting from the most present working backwards, so this is helpful to have a little guidance on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then just so you guys know, so there's a whole program that we've all gone through as a group, it's sort of an evolution where people will start off a group by bringing in their friends and family and then using them up and then after they all quit, then moving in on, bringing in other people. And so there's like a sort of regression we've been going through. And the idea is that new folks who join the program will go through that progression. And the first part of the progression is just to spend some time participating in the calls and listening to the recordings. Do you have the information about the facilitator blog?
Yes.
Okay, so participating in that. And you notice there's a lot of conversation on the blog about self-facilitation as a practice. And so that's a good way to go, and also using the Reflective Listening Buddies program. And so just kind of getting your feet under you for a while, and then whenever this seems like the time is right, then starting a group, and if that's what you still want to do, and then kind of going from there. So it's sort of like you're lagging behind the group by a period of time, which is good. All right, good. So thanks for your willingness. And other folks, really for all of us, why don't we thank all of us for our willingness to show up and offer practice to everybody. Alex is patting himself on the back. So we can all do that. All right, good. What's next, Tony?
The flyer.
Okay, yeah, the whole schmeal. All right, so here's the deal. We've been poised for this for a long time. Let me kind of give you the whole big picture, too. What we're talking about doing, and we've been in conversation about this for a number of weeks, is shifting the administration of this program outside of the monastery and setting up a committee that's made of the senior facilitators, folks who have been around for a while, who want to, completely voluntary, to administer the program offside the monastery property in communication with the monastery, but essentially, having it happen out there. and that group of people, we're not ready to really start that part of it yet. We're set a tentative date of September, the week of September the 6th, so it would be the end of that week to actually start that new phase. And I'm not going to get too much into the detail of that and how all that will work, but just as an idea that that's what we're talking about happening. It's kind of like having a working committee, and that committee will set the agenda for sort of the whole program, what we need to be looking at, how we want to be looking at it, how we want to use these calls, and also working on the kind of nuts and bolts stuff like these flyers, or there's a, you know, the orientation letter and things like that. And I have a lot of good feelings about it, and a lot of hope that, and expectation, I think, even that, not expectation, but anticipation of having an influx of energy into the program as a result of that, because I think having that kind of focused attention on the program will really help it, and it's, I think it can be in a way that is being difficult for us at the monastery. So I'm really excited about that. So that's kind of the context, and we've been kind of waiting to get all that together before we put the new pieces in place, and I think we're ready. So we're going to go ahead and set the tangible pieces in place to kind of start the new phase of the program for people. And so that's what all these documents are about. So everyone should have received the flyer. We created a flyer a while ago, and it's ready to go. It's been edited, and it's oh, yeah, good. Here's Melinda's got it here for the monks. Okay. So the flyer will go out, has gone out to everybody. So you can start using that at any point. And there's a place in the flyer where you put your contact information. And I think everyone's probably clear that this came up. Tony and I were talking yesterday that we're not giving an address to people on these flyers or in any information we're giving people, because we want to have a conversation with them first before they arrive about getting an orientation. So it's just what we're putting on the flyers is just the contact information. And, of course, it has a spot there for, you know, when is it? Like this one says, you know, Monday evenings, 7 o'clock. And so that people can start using that as a way to bring people into their group.
Hey,
at the
Dave.
Same time, I believe we have collected all of the contact information that we need from people to go up on the website. And Tony is about to send all the information to Bob.
Yes.
And then Bob, whenever he gets ready, in conjunction with Marie, I think they were going to, you know, pretty it up a little bit. They're going to get it up on the website for us. And then once that's up, Amy yesterday was working on our geographic email. And as soon as we'll get that edited and all tuned up, and then as soon as that stuff is ready on the web, the geographical email, actually it's not a geo email, it's an email to everybody about kind of what's available, and referring people to the website to go, and they can find out if there's a group in their area. So it's a whole, you know, energy boost, hopefully, for everybody. And hopefully, you know, I mean, I don't think we can expect hordes of people turning out as a result of this, but hopefully it'll help people who are, you know, having one or zero people show up all the time, and maybe can just bring some more people in.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, go ahead. Was that Tracy?
Yeah, that's Tracy. I just need some clarification on the flyer that's been approved. We received one from Tony yesterday,
yeah.
And on it was information like typed in about someone's group in Philadelphia. Is that the one we're to use, or is there a different one? Because it didn't
that's
look
the
like
correct
it was
one. You just got to replace the Philadelphia information with your information.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's it. And if there's any old flyers around, this is kind of across the board with anything like this. If people would be so kind as to delete them, because they have an amazing ability to hang on and reappear in odd places even after they're long out of date. So if you've got any old sort of stuff that we've used, just go ahead and delete it so you know that you're using the most up-to-date one.
And are we going to get up-to-date things on everything just so we know we do have the latest? And then is it possible to start putting dates on things?
To start doing what?
Putting dates on things.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. We should do that. Tony, why don't you take responsibility for that part of it?
Okay.
And, you know, Tony can be the repository of all this stuff and have the official you know, kind of the official thing. So that's a good idea. Tony, why don't we put the, you know, the date on it as we send it out to people?
On the actual flyer or on the email sending it?
Or the
well, it I'm not sure. Does anybody have an account?
It'd be great to have it on the bottom.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that would live on our website. I think we talked about it living on our website. People would download it from our website rather than getting it sent as an email, because then on the website it would be the latest version. So up at the top of it, it would have, you know how they have firmware and stuff like that. It's version 1.3 or version 1.4, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as we change it. That would be where you would get it, because then it would, we would know that everything on the website was the latest version.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that actually addresses the issue, though, Alex, because we still have these documents flying around out there, and people wouldn't know where they came from, because once it's like a virus. Once it gets out there, it's they just kind of they have a life of their own. So it does seem to me like it needs some kind of date on it, so that we can know, you know, we can know which version it is.
Dave.
And, yeah.
The file name, you could just put the date in the file name, so when you go to open that file, you would see that it's from whatever 8.26.10, and if we know that we're using the latest version is the one from 8.26.10, then that's the only file that we would print and use. Does that make sense?
That's a good idea, and then we don't have to delete anything from the actual document. That's good.
Yeah, and you don't have to put anything on the document. Yeah, so it would just be in the file name, and then, you know, alongside of, like, Alex's, the idea we had of having it on the website, it's still there, but then, you know, next to it you just write, and the latest version is, you know, 8.26.
Right, and then people could compare and make sure they've got the real version.
So rather than using versions, you just put the date on it and then change the date every time you're using the latest date.
Yeah, that seems good to me. Tony, are you tracking that?
Yes, I'll put the date on as part of the file name on the computer, I mean on the name of the document.
Okay, maybe what we ought to do is resend the flyer out with that, just so we can start our system afresh.
All right.
And Dave, this is Phil. I have a question about the flyer that I got.
Hey, hang on a second, Phil. And then, Tony, could you take responsibility for getting this, talking with Bob about finding a place on the website where we could stick this stuff that's private that everyone could access it?
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay, Phil, what was your question?
Well, and maybe once it's on the website, it'll be different. But when I got mine, I got it in text edit, and it has a big space. It doesn't really look right. It didn't come in Adobe or anything, and So I don't know how
there's
I got.
There's actually a graphic right there that's missing. There's a meditator. Oh, Melinda thinks it's a Mac thing.
Well, Dave, it was sent out.
I got it. When I got it, when the flyer came in on my Mac, it had that big space. When it came in on my BlackBerry, it's got the little meditator.
Yeah, well, I have a Mac, too. This is Janet, and I have a big space. This is Cameron. I have a big space, too.
What about sending it out in a PDF like the other one was?
With the PDF, Phil, is that no one can edit it unless they have a special program to do that.
That's right.
So PDFs are not editable. You can't put your address on there.
How about Word? How come? What did it? Anyhow.
I think it was sent in Word, Phil. So,
hey, Dave. I have the same problem on a PC. It looks like it's not finished, like it hasn't been laid out yet.
Mm-hmm.
It actually scrolls over to two pages.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's true.
Okay.
Somehow
it got corrupted then, because we had it already. I wonder if somebody would be willing to take this and make it the way that it needs to be.
This is Tony. I don't know if it's anything with my computer. I can try sending it, since it has a graphic on it. I can try sending it from a different computer.
One thing I noticed is it was an RTF file, and if you click on it, it might be, like, I don't know what program people's computers are, like, it will use whatever default program it wants to use. So I don't know if in different programs, like, you could try opening it in Word and see if the graphic is there,
That's a great idea. That would be the first thing to try, to see what it opened it up as. because the difficulty with Word is that it's not an actual design program, and so everybody's computer will open it differently. What I did when I edited it, when I had a chance to look it over, was I set everything to kind of like a standard setting. So I the font is now either Times Roman or Arial, which is something that most computers can recognize. So if there is, like Lisa said, a program that it's opening up as, try opening it up as a Word document if possible, and then we might need to troubleshoot it if that doesn't work.
Alex, this is Marie. I when I look to see what kind of file type it is, it's a rich text file.
Mm-hmm. Okay, rather, hey guys, let's put a timeout on this conversation. Is there somebody who'd be willing, who understands what these issues are and can put it in a form that would make it easy for everybody to access?
Hey, this is Lisa. I can try.
Okay, that would be fabulous.
Okay.
And then maybe you could send it out to the send it to Tony when you've got it, and then we can do a little. Tony, you could send it to us, and we could test it here and see how it goes before we send it out to everybody.
Dave, just real quick, if I need to email back and forth with someone to ask for a different version, would it be Tony that I would ask for? You know, if I need it sent in a different way or something like that, is that who I would email to ask that of?
Tony, only why don't you copy me, and then I can get in the conversation too, because we have different versions of it here too.
Okay, that's it.
Dave, this is Marie.
Yeah, Marie.
Can I ask one question? I just wondered. I noticed it doesn't mention meditation, and I didn't know if we were doing the two different kinds of flyers for the meditation groups and the discussion groups, or we were kind of, you know, describing them all more as discussion groups.
The second was what we decided to do, that we wouldn't make the distinction. That way all the groups could use the flyer.
Okay. Great.
All right, good. So let's see. And then the other thing is the donation. We tracked down the donation letter, and we have it. It's been edited and a little bit updated. And I think, did you say that's just gone out, Tony?
Yes.
Okay, so we might want to resend that one, too, with a date in the file name like we were talking.
Okay.
And get on track with that. And then the other stuff is in-house. It happens on the website. Marie is, let's see, not, you know, sometime next week. Marie, what's your timeline on that, do you think, when you and Bob might be able to work on that?
We should be able to get it in next week, Dave. I mean, I'll make a point to try to do that, but I'm pretty sure I can.
Okay, that's fabulous. And then so we'll be working on the email that goes out to everybody announcing it. And so maybe, you know, either into next week or early in the week after that, depending on kind of the emails we're sending out and everything, we can go ahead and get the word out. And in the meantime, as soon as we get an official version of the flyer, or actually people who can open it in a way that it looks right could go ahead and start using it. But at any rate, once you get a copy of the flyer that you can use, then you're welcome to begin using it to publicize your group. And then the other thing that's on the table is the orientation document. And I think what we're going to do with that is wait to finalize that until after our committee is up and running so that they can work on it a little bit. I think that'd be a good thing for the committee to start off with. All right, so is that relatively clear for everyone? Now, one thing I wanted to do, at the risk of opening up another can of worms, but is to make sure we're all on the same page with what documents we are using.
Yeah, Dave, this is Tracy again. Dave?
Yeah?
Yeah, this is Tracy again.
Uh-huh.
It would be helpful for me to even know the steps of the documents, like the orientation letter. Does that go out once someone has called us and seen the flyer, and then we send the letter? Because I think that's something that's new. You know, and then we have the orientation guidelines that we actually give them when we meet with them. And so just, like, what are the steps, too?
Okay, well, the orientation letter, what we can do on that is to ask the committee to do a little write-up on that.
Okay.
So some guidelines on how to use it.
Okay.
So that would take care of that. The other ones, let's get clear. I think we might be able to do that on this call, Tracy. Let's get clear. We've got the donation document, which is a single page and goes on the back, I think, of the document that is the, how to participate document. Am I right about that?
How to participate?
No, I think how to participate in the practice. It's
like
something that, that is given to people as they lead group or something. Am I right about that?
I think it's the guidelines we talked about before, Dave, because it's blank on the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Is that the one? Okay. So that's a single sheet. We've got guidelines on the front and donations on the back. And then, Marie, you were working on updating that, it's how to participate in the practice sheet.
The supports for practice flyer. It's got information on the front and back, and I finished that. I just wanted to proof it really good on Monday before I send it to Tony.
Okay, perfect. So, and are there any other documents that we're using out there?
Dave, this is Tony. I just wanted to maybe double check while we're doing this that we all have this using the same guidelines document.
Good call. Yeah. So why don't we start over on that one too? How about? Yeah, this is good actually. We'll probably have to do this once a quarter. Tony, do you feel like you have the latest?
I possibly. I'll get the one that I think's the most latest. And do you want me to send it to you?
Yeah, send it our way. We'll look over it here, and then once we recognize that's the latest, we can send it out to people with a date in the.
Okay.
Dave, this is Cameron.
Cameron.
Hi. I thought we had decided on the last call not to send things individually in emails, but rather to keep the most current of everything listed on the website. And maybe what we would send out in an email is, here's what's on the website, and that's where the most current version is, rather than sending each individually to everyone. I thought that's what we had.
Well, I think what we got to in this call, this is what I got, is it doesn't matter as long as it has the date on it. We'll do both, basically, that we have it on the website and we also have it is going out to people. And as long as it has the date on it and people, you know, if it's coming out currently, you know, here's the current version, and people go ahead and use it. And if there's any confusion, people could compare it to what's on the website.
Okay, got it.
Now, were there any other documents that we're using, or is that it?
Dave, this is Chris. How about the supporting awareness practice document that's two-sided?
That's the one I think that Marie is fixing up for us. Am I right? Yeah, so we'll have a new version of that next week, it sounds like, coming out.
Yeah. You know, Dave, there used to be one called Sitting Without a Trace. Is that just out of date and we're not going to do it anymore?
I can't remember. Monks, you know?
It tells people how to
pull it out
meditation posture.
Here too.
It needs revision, so we're not using that one right now.
Okay, and can I ask one question about the guidelines since you guys are going to look at it?
Sure.
Because what I noticed, or actually Tony noticed, that the guidelines are a little different on clothing from the monastery. It doesn't mention long pants or long skirts, and I just clarify that.
Seems like it ought to, doesn't it?
That's what I thought. You know, I was telling people you had to wear long pants, but then I looked on the guidelines, and sure enough, it doesn't say that.
Okay, well, I'm making a note. We'll stick it in when we get that copy of it.
Great, thanks.
Long pants, long skirts.
Dave, John here.
John?
Yeah, I recall when I was in a sitting group in L.A. that on the donations basket there was a small one-paragraph little thing. I don't know if that's standardized
Well, that document that we made is essentially that.
Okay.
Now, one thing people could do with that is, print it out and put it in like a little frame kind of thing to have by the donation basket. But that's what that write-up is. It explains sort of the attitude of mind around donations.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks, everybody. That was really productive. What's next on the list there, Tony?
Let's see. Well, there's the email that Ann sent in and issues raised on the blog. like different things facilitators have talked about on the blog.
Okay, the Anne's email I think we can handle off the call.
Okay.
But the blog stuff we could definitely do. So anybody, are there specifics that you're thinking of, Tony, or should we ask people to bring up things that they had left questions about in the blog?
I was thinking more of things people like put questions in the blog or just things that we're going through and we're looking for guidance for.
Okay. Folks have things like that?
Dave, this is Chris.
Chris.
There is something that I have that I could put on the stack.
Great. Awesome. Go for it.
Oh, okay. It's a short stack right about now, huh? Essentially, with the group of folks who are recovering from chemical dependencies, I have one person who's not really with the program, so not a lot of willingness to go along with what I'm asking her to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to have folks or anybody with any experience in that give me a little guidance on what might be possible there. And
so is she actively resisting, Chris, or?
Well, she's kind of floating along and appearing to be doing some things, but then when, you know, so every week with these folks, I ask them to, you know, I'm essentially the meditation teacher, so I ask them to fill out a meditation commitment certificate, which says, you know, for the next week I will sit for, and we started between 5 and 10 minutes, so most people are still in that direction. For, you know, 5 to 7 days a week they get to choose and then choose a place, fill it all out. And so she will say that she's meditating, but she's meditating with music and, you know, just really not putting her heart and soul into it, or actually just kind of hanging back, not really actively resisting me, but not really going with the program either.
Yeah, kind of doing it her own way.
Exactly. She's doing what she wants to do. So on the one hand, if someone's not willing, there may be absolutely nothing that will assist in that, which is fine. I don't want it to drag the group energy down. A couple of things that I look at now would be to make sure that that I don't err on the side of giving her too much airtime, if such a thing were possible, or too little, to make sure that she still has openings to come in and participate if she would like. And then not to get confrontational with her, to make sure that the compassionate environment is preserved. But then somewhere in between those two, you know, another thing that occurred to me was something like working with, you'll do for the love of others that you know, what you won't do for yourself, and encourage her to perhaps participate based on the impact she might have on other people, that her participation might be helpful to other people, some things along those lines. But again, I kind of wanted to get a sense of it. It's kind of loaded conditioning-wise for me, so I wanted to be able to get a little bit of a steer from anybody with ideas or experience.
Okay, great. That's excellent. So why don't we just open it up to the group not necessarily in reference to you, but in reference to that kind of situation. You got somebody in your group who is kind of on their own program, is not terribly willing, and like that. What do people see about that? Alex.
Well, just the first thing that occurs to me is that if there, as I recall, there was somebody that I was doing an orientation with who just kept insisting on, you know, meditating with their eyes closed or something like that.
Right.
And I think, you know, the way I just brought it up, well, I would just kind of just informationally say that in this practice we don't do that. And then I would kind of say why and, you know, the reasoning behind it, that meditation is what we're doing is we're bringing the mind of meditation into our daily lives, and in our daily lives we don't walk around with our eyes closed, we walk around with our eyes open, and that we have three different kinds of meditation, that we sit, we walk, we have walking meditation, and we also have working meditation, which is the most challenging because it involves us to interact with people and blah, 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 you know, the whole deal. And I thought maybe there might be, you know, what was occurring for me with the music part is that, if there was a kind of a playful way to bring up, then I don't know how much content you guys are going into with the processes, because that is really an interesting way to bring in, do you see how you do this process in your other life without actually phrasing it that way? So, if someone were to say, well, I just want to do it this way, that was what would occur to me is like, so do you see any other place in your life where, you know, you just want to do it a particular way, and, you know, it just might open up a discussion in that way.
So the kind of the theory behind what you're saying, I think, Alex, is basically offering without any kind of judgment or making them wrong or anything, just basically offering the person the information.
Yeah, that's essentially it. And in a way to explore, you know, what's going on around it. So I'm not sure if you know exactly, you know, what is going on with, you know, the choosing to do the meditation the way that it's being done, but it's like I would be interested to see what's going on with that, so kind of feel it out that way.
Sure, make sure that there's
okay, good, that's helpful. Maybe as we talk about this, we can not talk to Chris about it and not in reference to that particular instance, but just kind of theoretically. So we have this theoretical situation, and then Chris can take whatever he wants out of that, just because I think that might be just sort of more fruitful. Who else has something?
Dave, this is Karen.
Karen.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to an experience I've had in group, and it's different, but I got guidance about it, it was compared to me. Someone was doing something in my group, and the guidance was that for me to say, well, that's fine that you want to do that, but that's not what we're doing here. And
that's great.
And it was kind of, you know, like if somebody wanted to lay down, it's just like, you know, it's fine, but here that's just not what we're doing. And
yeah,
that,
I think you're making a good point. It's a lot of what Alex was saying, too. You know, the key phrase that jumped out from Chris's description was, for me, was not letting it affect the group energy. And I think that's what you're talking about there, Karen. You know, because if we let somebody come in and really do their own thing, and sort of take over the group in that way, like lying down. I mean, that's somebody essentially taking over the group and putting themselves in charge. That's not going to work. But if we're offering people, really everyone the same sort of chance, like Chris was saying, you know, everybody gets the same amount of time, not giving them more than everybody else, not giving them less, putting the same mirror up in front of everybody, and then really holding to the guidelines in group, then that kind of gives them the option, you know, are they going to pitch and go along with the program or not? And really the consequences are just for them, because they'll either get somewhere or they won't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's Melinda.
Yeah, I was just thinking yes to all of the above, and it just really seems like, and Chris, you probably, that being in the place of holding the privileged environment, rather than making sure the rules are kept, and in that sort of being supportive in whatever I say to a participant who might not be doing it according to the way we do it in this practice, I'm not admonishing them. I'm sort of pointing out that they have a choice, and the choice that we're making in this particular group is to do it this way. And it winds up, I think, we become an ally with the person rather than needing to be in any kind of oppositional position.
So what I hear you saying, Melinda, or this is kind of an extrapolation on what you're saying, is we're modeling the practice in relationship to this person. So we're not getting identified ourselves with any kind of agenda or trying to get them to do anything particular or have any kind of relationship with them that's any different from the relationship we have with anyone in the group, which is to be the facilitator and be a clear a mirror as we can provide to their process. And in that, then no matter what happens with the person, it's going to be a benefit for everybody because, you know, even if, and we have this happen here all the time, especially in longer retreats, you know, somebody's running a racket on us and they just do that and they just keep, you know, running into the mirror over and over and over again. And they may or may not get to see through that, but everybody else in the group gets to say, oh boy, that's conditioning in action right there. and the facilitator's not involved in the conditioning, and that's it's an incredible modeling for people.
That's exactly it.
And hey, Dave, this is Tracy.
Tracy,
I wonder what's coming up for me, and I'm glad we're having this discussion because this is one of those places where I don't know, is when they say, gosh, you know, I'm noticing that I'm listening to music when I'm meditating, you know, just contacting that, you know, saying, wow, something about needing, you know, something like needing some noise when you're meditating, or just to, yeah, to more to just move towards it instead of trying to move away from it.
You mean as you're working with the person?
Like if I were facilitating them and they said, yeah, I'm noticing that I'm, you know, when I go to meditate, I need to turn music on. And, like, would it be okay to contact or to say back in a way, yeah, something about when it's time to meditate, you know, needing to have, you know, music on or outside noise on. And so almost to just invite them to go into it more?
Yeah, now the tricky thing, I'm not sure, but the tricky thing for that, in, for me in that, is we can get into a relationship with them over that issue if we're not
okay.
careful.
Okay.
For example, you know, there's nothing wrong with the retreat. It's just the perfect, I mean, this is the forum where all this stuff comes up for us here as facilitators because we often have brand new people, and it's a very intense experience, and they resist like crazy a lot of times, and so you get a lot of practice with stuff like this. And one thing that we talk about is we have to be really, really careful as facilitators not to play the other side of their duality.
Yeah.
So if somebody is being, like, resisting in some, for example, in some way, and we come in and try to get them to not resist, then we've just gotten pulled into conditioning with them, and it's really difficult for us to be helpful. And that's just one version, kind of one example of the different kind of relationships we can get into. You know, often it's sort of like trying to be helpful or kind of being a pseudo-teacher with people or different kinds of things like that. The alternative to that, I think, is what was just being talked about a little while ago where somebody says, well, okay, I really want to listen to music, and we just point out, well, that's interesting. The guideline in our practice is not to listen to music while we're meditating, and here's why. And then if a person says, gosh, that's interesting, and wants to explore that in terms of their process, awesome. You can remain in the facilitator role while you're working with them, and you don't have to step out of that to try to be in relationship with them and kind of make something happen.
Got it. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, it's Rebecca. So this conversation is bringing up for me is this notion that my job is really to hold the privileged environment, and whatever people do in their practice outside of that environment is just a part of their practice. But if I'm holding this privileged environment as much integrity as I can, then it's going to provide a nice contrast to what we do instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering that this one person who used to come to the group that I would facilitate that would say, I just have to meditate with my eyes closed. I just can't, you know, and I don't know what I actually said, but what my memory tells me that I said was that, you know, that and here and in this practice, we do it with our eyes open. So sort of just the offering of the information. And I think this is kind of what Melinda was saying, that to just hold that privileged environment. And to me, it's very just really helpful to think of it in terms of that's my primary job, just that.
Yeah,
and then that, whatever else anybody does is just going to help them practice. If I, you know, yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems really clear. And the advantage that I see in that is you're really maintaining the integrity of the practice that's happening at your group. And so someone who is really interested in doing practice is going to keep coming because they will be attracted to that. Someone who really isn't interested in that and basically doesn't have their willingness is pretty quickly going to fade away, which is a good thing. Now, of course, in Chris's situation, I think that's, you know, they're part of a program. You know, she probably doesn't have a lot of choice about whether she can come. But, you know, so that's obviously a factor too. But just kind of in general terms of sitting group, that seems like an excellent thing that we're not accommodating conditioning in any way. And, you know, it makes for small groups. You know, I think that's why we run into this. You know, people have very small sitting groups because not many people actually want to wake up in suffering. But it sure assists the people who actually do, because then there's a place they can come to, like you're saying, Rebecca, which is different from any other environment pretty much they'll ever run across in their lives, where there's this a whole different orientation to what's happening.
Yeah, and I guess maybe the follow-up question that's being arisen, that's arising as you're saying that is, so if in the group I see someone meditating with their eyes closed or, you know, whatever, then that becomes sort of another question in terms of how then to protect the integrity of, you know, and then I think then, I guess, what I'm thinking now or follow is the fallback is sort of what Alex was pointing at, is just providing information as information.
Yeah, and the other, when you get into like a something like that that becomes an issue, then that can be a topic for our conversation. You know, you can seek guidance from the program for that. We can talk about it in our group, because that's a really interesting one. You know, here at the monastery, we have a whole way of dealing with that. You know, if we provide the information, and then we provide the information again, and then we provide the information again, and if someone is still not going with the program, we write them a note saying, "Have you noticed that we've been providing you this information, and you're not sitting with your eyes open?" Now, of course, in the sitting groups, it's a whole different context. We've got a different setting, different expectations, I think, different relationship with the facilitator. So we have to look kind of on an individual basis how to handle something like that. But it seems like it does need to be looked at, and we have to make a conscious decision about it, which is good. I mean, that's good. I feel like it's good training for everybody, the person who's involved and also the facilitator.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks.
And then Alex has something. I just want to throw one more little thing in just people are aware of. Now, this is obviously, this doesn't apply to the situation of the sitting groups, but could, actually, if we are in communication about it. But something that has occasionally happened here is that someone is coming and not doing the practice, but coming anyway, and not doing the practice. And it has happened that we have asked people to not come because, and what we said to them is, we have become aware that you're not doing the practice, and so we'd like for you to not participate. So, you know, that's kind of, I just throw that in there as an interesting place that integrity takes us to if we need to. Here's Alex.
No, that really speaks to it. I was just looking at that the integrity is probably the most important aspect of the whole thing, and that this facilitation program is primarily about our practice as we do this, and that that's the most challenging part for me as I look at the whole thing, is that I need to, it's like conditioning wants to scream and just say, go along with, you know, okay, I didn't see that, you know, they're sitting with their eyes closed, I didn't see that, you know, after asking them three or four times to that they're not, you know, they're keeping their eyes closed. So I just remember we had watched a training film about Gandhi and how there was such a strong emphasis put on how the folks were stepping up and doing what was difficult and standing up with integrity to face the opposition, which is conditioning, and even though it's very uncomfortable to do it. And I think that's just a really, really powerful place in practice where we do that and model that for people, because that's what people are going to actually see, and that's what we're going to take with us as we continue to facilitate.
Yeah, that's good. As you were speaking, Alex, it occurred to me that we're really positioned pretty well these days, I think, to be able to act from that place you're talking about, because we have this program where we can talk about stuff. And also, we mentioned this in a previous call, that it's possible to get guidance right away. Usually there's a week lag in between, you know, the groups, so we've got a week to decide how we're going to approach something. And so if you run into a situation like that, just, you know, send an email. And if it's really time sensitive, like we said last week, copy me, copy the monastery registration office as you're sending the email to Tony, and we'll get some input for you right away. John, I think that was you. I could barely hear you.
Okay, I'll put the microphone closer.
Okay, that's much better.
Okay, what's come up for me is the story, and it sure is related, and I think people are familiar with, about William Penn and trying to join the Quakers. He's a friend with George Fox, and when he joined the Quakers, of course, they don't wear swords in church, and he was a gentleman and wore the sword in church, and he asked him, when should I take the sword off? And the answer was, when you're ready.
Yeah, as long as you can, I think, is the way Sherry talks about it.
Yeah, when you can. And that, to me, is talks to acceptance and practice as well in the privileged environment, too.
Yeah, so that might apply to the person who's resisting, let's say. So we're, and if I'm following you, John, so we're not, again, trying to change them. We're not making them wrong. We're basically giving them an environment where they, when they're ready and when they can make that different choice that is possible for them to make.
That's right, and exactly. And the other place to come from is perhaps a place to try it. Try not wearing your sword one time, or try. This is a practice of exploration and truth finding for ourselves, working out our own salvation diligently. And so it may be an opportunity for a facilitator to say, well, you know, try it in this week, something like that, and report back. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and again, that's one of those places we have to watch really carefully because, and I think it's a good place to be watching carefully and a good place to be experimenting with. But being able to offer that kind of information without setting ourselves up as the source of guidance rather than having the privileged environment being the source of guidance.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Alex.
Just one really quick thing about it is that, you know, I just saw the analogy come up perfectly for it, where it's so not a place of judgment that it's the analogy was, you know, we're all here playing soccer, and if you want to play football, there's nothing wrong with playing football. It's just you got to play football somewhere else because it's a whole different animal. And so, you know, that's really about how much charge there is to it. And I just got it when Dave said that sometimes we've asked people to leave. It's because they clearly want to do something different. You know, it's not nothing personal. It's just, you know, we're here to end suffering, and that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is something I've always admired about this practice and the way it's set up is we almost never get to that place because the integrity is so much there that people will they'll come to the sitting group or to a retreat or something, and then they'll immediately start running into themselves. And someone who doesn't want that have that experience just won't come back. And so it's really nice because it's very kind in the sense that we don't have to do anything normally. It's just the privileged environment. That's kind of what I meant a minute ago as the privileged environment offering the guidance. The privileged environment essentially does all that work for us. Occasionally we get folks who are really stubborn and want to continue to participate and still not do the practice, but it's really pretty rare. All right, Chris, any comments before we move on to something else?
That was excellent, very helpful. Yeah, I feel completely prepared to launch into this next week and the midweeks after.
Yeah, that's super. Yeah, great conversation starter. That was super.
Good.
Okay, we got about 10 more minutes. Anybody else got one?
I have something along that line. This is Andrea.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was attending a group, not as a facilitator, but in the context of an account. And went to the group, and then after the group was waiting for a ride, one of the people in the group came over to me and asked me if I minded if he asked me a couple of questions. And I
Uh-oh.
Said that was the guidelines under that. So I'm just wondering, I basically, you know, told him it was against the guidelines and he left. But I'm not the facilitator in that group, so I'm not sure what the best thing is.
Okay. Anybody have a take on that? What does one do in a situation like that? Alex?
I think it's always appropriate for everybody who has got the integrity to say something about, what the guidelines are. And, I've even seen folks say, bow and walk away, which is kind of extreme out in the world, I would think, especially if people don't know what that signifies. But, perhaps the equivalent would be just the standard, the guideline is not to share outside a group. I'd like to stay in integrity while, until I leave, and like that.
That sure seems a good way to go. Anybody else?
Yeah, so I just said it.
Dave?
I guess what I'm asking is I just said it was against the guidelines, but then I was wondering if I should notify the...
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to do, Andrea. Yeah, just so they can be watching out for that. I think it's an excellent idea.
Oh, and one more thing about that is that if the facilitator knows that, there might be like just a, an announcement perhaps. Once it's run through the group, see, is it okay to say something to that person or the group? Maybe just as a reminder, possibly.
Yeah, that's good, because I think probably in almost every case, it's not coming from anything that's actually intentional. It's just cluelessness and not knowing how the whole thing works. So just to, like, giving people that information probably would be good.
Hey, Dave, this is Lisa.
Lisa?
I'm a facilitator, and I think I have given that guideline to my group, like, just kind of like a nice reminder. The way I frame it is I'll say, when we're here at group, we have this experience of being with one another, and I ask that you stay silent until you leave, the building. But, actually, as we leave, the encouragement is to maintain the silence and go off in silence. And I've given that reminder, and I think there might be someone in our group who may continue to just be a bit clueless outside of that. I get that sense. And I don't know, what would you do to follow up with that person?
Well, this is perfect. This is exactly what we were talking about a minute ago, about the person who's continuing to sit with their eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a special case. And
mm-hmm.
we have to look and see, how do we deal with this situation, this particular situation?
Mm-hmm.
We could address the content of it right now or not, but if someone is not getting it, usually at the monastery what we do, like I said before, is we softball it as much as we possibly can, especially with
right.
folks who are just here on retreat. Not so much with the monks, but typically with folks who are on the retreat. Even if it's only one person who's doing the thing, we post a general note first, as if everybody's doing it. And then we post another general note, as if everybody's doing it. And then finally, if it just is not working, then in some really kind and gentle way, we'll suggest to the person that they look at that. And so
mm-hmm.
it's really... I mean, that's typically what we would do. So it might be that we're at that
like,
place with this person. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just wondering, how do you do that? What would be, as a facilitator, it's a totally different structure than the monastery. We don't have notes. We don't have, And then I've seen the guide do it, and obviously the guide has her own gig, I wouldn't do it the way the guide does it because she's, the guide. And, I've seen her tell people to sit up in group or something like that. And there's a confidence level there and also just who that person is, And so for a facilitator, how would we go about addressing an individual issue with a person, with an individual, in a way that, maintains their integrity, makes them feel, not embarrassed and feel cared for and feel still accepted, but really giving them that specific, I've given this general guideline to everyone a few times, and it seems to not be reaching you. So what would I send them an email? Would I ask them to stay after and talk to them? I'm wondering what venue that would take as a facilitator.
Here's Melinda.
Well, I'm wondering about an approach I think Alex was sort of describing a little bit ago, which is to sort of expand the information about why we keep the silence, including that it's really important for each of us to not interfere with anyone else's practice by talking to them, mm-hmm. because we have no idea what might be going on for them. So I don't know if there's a general context where that will be possible, but to sort of expand out the information that's being given so the person might have an opportunity to see, oh, this isn't just about me getting answers to my questions.
Yeah.
It could be about me bothering somebody.
Yeah, that seems right. And I think the question that Lisa's asking is, how do we do that? Like, what's the actual format for that? And I would imagine an email would be it. But I don't know. What do other people think about that?
Dave, it's Rebecca again.
Rebecca?
Well, I'm in the same situation where there's not really a note board or anything like that, but this conversation is making me think maybe I want to bring a note board in, because it would not only would it be a good place to post the guidelines and, you know, the other stuff, but it would kind of open up the space for a note, you know, be able to handle it that way, which I think is sounds like such a compassionate way to handle it. So I'm thinking maybe I'm going to get me a little, you know, cork board or something to carry in and set on the counter, the table or something in the room where we sit.
Yeah, that occurred to me a few minutes ago as Lisa was talking too. I could definitely see that working. Mm-hmm. You know, and something like that, again, it would be good to run it by the monastery. And even the wording of the note, that's what we do here. You know, whenever we have something that's going to be, could be difficult for someone to receive, we always show it to multiple people to make sure that we feel like we're on the right track and that we're doing it as clearly and as kindly as we can.
I was actually thinking that it might be possible to go ahead and do it as a group reminder again. It sounds like there's sort of a tradition of reminding people about it, and simply add in the information about the impact it could have on other people.
Yeah, we could definitely try it. I mean, it sounds like what I hear from Lisa is that she's gone down that route, and it's time
I have, but it is interesting that the thing that Melinda brought up, I haven't included that piece of it. And, like, when she said it, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a good reason. You know, that's a really good reason. And, like, I mean, maybe I could try that angle, and if that angle still didn't work, you know what I mean? Because I haven't tried that angle yet, and it just seems, I don't know, that seems like a good one, you know, because kind of that whole, you know, for the love of others thing that was talked about earlier. But still, I mean, I don't know if we've had two reminders so far, so I don't know if we've already kind of passed that point or not.
Well, I don't think you've passed that point. I mean, if it feels like that could work, that's clearly the best way to do it, rather than having something go to an individual. If she can, you know, if we can give her a way to get it without her being sort of pointed to, that's clearly the best. And, you know, when we get past that point, then, you know, it's time to take the next step. And I think that's completely appropriate.
Davis, yeah. Cameron?
Cameron?
Yeah. I remember at one point, I don't have a group myself, but I remember at one point in our calls, we talked about periodically reviewing the guidelines. You know, as people come in and as people are there longer, just kind of refreshing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was imagining that, you know, as they're reviewed periodically, the more subtle aspects of the guidelines, the richer detail that we're talking about now could be brought in. And so the whole concept of the privileged environment sort of expands as the group goes through time, and maybe even the updates or the reviews could include opportunities for people to ask questions or to create a little discussion about the more subtle points of why it's done and you know, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's nice, and we haven't actually followed up on that. Maybe I've made a note. Maybe we can pass that off to our committee once the committee's formed to schedule that for us occasionally, and we could focus group discussions on different aspects of the guidelines. You know, we talk about the privileged environment, and we could talk about other things also.
Yeah, you know, and as people experience the privileged environment, they have more a deeper understanding experientially of it, and they could bring things themselves into the discussion that would just kind of expand it over time as the group gets more experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the new book we're going to do is going to really help with this too, because I think it's going to be more concrete in these kind of areas. Okay, we're going to have to go in just a second. Here's Alex.
The only thing that was occurring to me was that going through the guidelines in a group discussion format is probably fantastic, because then people can tell their experience of what works about the different aspects of the proliferative environment and the way things are set up. And, you know, that's a really great way for the person who's not getting it to get it, really, because there's an experiential quality to it.
All right, good. Yeah, that's great. So I made a note of that, and when the kind of the new program starts up, we can I'll mention it to folks to the committee, and we can perhaps get that scheduled occasionally. All right, good. Well, that was a good call. Thanks, everybody. Thanks a lot for sharing your Saturday morning with us. I know we have another call next Saturday, looks like it, on the 4th. We don't have any after that, but in between, you know, over the next few days, I'm hoping that we can schedule some more calls and get them out to everybody. So, good. So, once again, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon.